Greetings, everybody. This is John Loeffler. Welcome to Lifetime Income. And today's Lifetime Income is an encore presentation of a program we heard earlier in the year.
The Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, 2018 is going to be a different year than 2017. The new tax law goes into effect this year, beginning January 1st. It's going to impact the taxes you pay and the deductions that you take. And especially, it is going to have an impact on real estate. Joining me on the program is Paul Horn from Financial Sense Advisors. Paul, let's talk about this tax bill, because unlike the tax reform bills that we had in the past, this affects taxpayers in different ways because it really depends on what state you live in, the size of your home, the size of your mortgage. So let's begin and talk about how this may affect individuals that live in, let's say, very expensive areas of the country like California, New York, and places along the East and West Coast.
Of course, Jim. And we all know the old adage, location, 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 when it comes to real estate. And with this tax bill and the changes that it's caused, we've really never seen this become more apparent than today or more important than today. What we're seeing here is two major changes that are going to impact the real estate market. The big one here in California is going to be the change to the SALT deductions. SALT is the acronym for state and local taxes. In the past, you could deduct unlimited amounts of state income taxes and state property taxes. Unfortunately, with changes to the bill here, that's going to cap at $10,000 per year. Now, for most states, that's not going to be much of an impact, but where that's going to hit hardest is going to be California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Just for example, here in California in 2015, the average SALT expense was over $18,000. So based on those numbers, the average individual here in California is going to lose about $8,000 in deductions because of the SALT change.
Now, there's something that California is working on, Paul, that let's say my property tax deductions are $20,000, just to make this even. I can deduct $10,000 on federal. California is trying to pass a law that the extra $10,000 that I would owe on property tax, instead of paying the state, I would make a charitable deduction for $10,000 and therefore preserve the deduction. This is one way that some of the states are thinking of getting around that. Do you think this works? And is it a viable option?
So it's an interesting strategy that's been represented by Kevin DeLeon here in California. A law professor in UCLA is one of the proponents for this, helping Kevin put the legislation together. Unfortunately, when looking at it, does not look like it's going to pass muster at the federal level. Although it's a very intriguing idea, there's less people that believe it's going to be implemented.
All right. So if you are in a situation where you live in California, where the property taxes can be quite high, I mean, what do individuals do? I mean, if you have a job here, your home's here, your kids are here, your schools that your kids go to, their friends, it's going to be rather difficult. You just can't all of a sudden just pick up unless you have your own business and you're mobile. This is going to put a strain on a lot of individuals, which could lead to higher taxes.
It definitely can lead to higher taxes for some individuals. The other component here that we haven't mentioned yet is the mortgage interest deduction. That was capped at $750,000, where prior limit was $1 million. You can also no longer deduct home equity lines of credit or home equity loans, where before you're capped up to $100,000 you could deduct there. So that, with the SALT provision, is going to make it more difficult. Now, there is a study by the National Realtors Association. They do estimate, when it comes to these mortgage interest expenses, only about 1.3% of all mortgages this year are going to be impacted by that. So that's the good news. The downside is, if you're stuck in one of these high tax states, there's not a lot of wiggle room to really get around it.
Now, one thing that it's my understanding, they're going to limit the mortgage interest deduction to $750,000. It's my understanding, Paul, that that is for somebody buying a new home. So let's say that right now, under the old law, the mortgage limitation was $1 million and $100,000 for a second. So if I already have $1 million mortgage and $100,000 second, I'm not affected by that law, am I?
Jim, that's actually a great point you bring up, and you are correct. If you have a home that you currently own, you are grandfathered under that $1 million exemption. Now, if you sell the home, you will be subject to the new $750 limit as a result, which is going to lead to some interesting implications on the real estate market in those more expensive coastal areas, as we may see less people willing to sell their home as a result.
You know, that's rather interesting because in terms of new ownership, and let's say, you know, this could affect a lot of retirees, Paul. And the thing that comes to mind is, let's say that, I don't know, I'm Larry Lots of Bucks, and I've decided the kids have all grown up. I've got a house that's worth several $1 million. And folks listening to this program, a house that's worth several $1 million in California, that's not a mansion because the housing prices are so high here. But let's say I do want to sell that house, and then I want to go to someplace else and buy a house and have a mortgage for $750. That is going to impact in terms of what I buy. So what are you telling your clients, given the fact that, number one, the property tax deduction is capped at $10,000. The mortgage deduction on a new purchase of a home is $750,000. And then all of a sudden, your state taxes are no longer deductible. What are you doing with your clients?
The first thing we're doing is looking at different scenarios. While people are losing a lot of itemized deductions, as we know, the standard deduction has been raised to $24,000 for a couple married filing jointly. So that is helping offset for some clients. For Mr. Larry, lots of bucks. There's more advanced planning strategies that we're having to utilize, and that would be something to talk with us in person about, to learn more about.
So when you're talking about this in real estate, let's talk about what this might mean in terms of implications. Like, for example, California, where the homes are so expensive, or New York, where the homes are expensive, anything along the coast is generally higher priced real estate. What impact is that going to have on housing prices? In other words, I can't imagine, I mean, much of these bigger homes, a lot of them are on mortgages. I can't help but think, Paul, that this is going to have some kind of dampening effect on real estate prices.
There's a lot of expectation that it will. In these coastal areas, as you had mentioned, as I had mentioned before, the expectations are going to be less people selling, wanting to get new mortgages, giving up their $1 million mortgage provision that they're currently under, being grandfathered. On top of that, with these deduction losses, renters in these high cost areas are also going to be impacted. Imagine a landlord that has $22,000 a year in deductions between state property taxes and state income taxes. Well, if he is now capped at that $10,000 provision, he's going to lose $12,000 in write-offs. Well, as a landlord, you're not going to just take a loss of $12,000. You're going to pass that on to the tenant. And so I do expect to see rents dramatically increase in these more expensive areas as a result.
Paul, you know, this real estate bill, as we've been talking about here, is really going to affect people differently in terms of where they live. I mean, a $700,000 mortgage cap with somebody that lives in Iowa, Nebraska, or maybe Oklahoma or someplace like that, or Alabama, you're probably not going to be impacted as much, let's say, compared to somebody in New Jersey, New York, or, you know, California along the coast. So this law, I guess what makes this rather unique, and you have to think about the long-term implications here for people that are going to retire, it really depends on where you live.
Absolutely, Jim. Like I said at the beginning, I think location is going to be the most important factor here in understanding how these changes in the real estate are going to impact you individually. Going back to those in the high cost areas, those that are renting that have been sitting on the sidelines, there's a lot of them I would anticipate they're probably going to continue to do so. They may be incentivized, instead of buying a home in California, they may be incentivized to buy a rental or a couple rentals in these lower cost but hot rental markets, especially in states like you'd mentioned, Ohio, for example. If you have more money due to the tax cuts, that may actually encourage you to go out and buy homes. Now, I've written an article, and if you'd like to see that, go to financialsense.com. But in that article, I did take a look at Trulia, had their 10 housing markets to watch for 2018. It's very interesting because none of them were coastal areas. It was places like Grand Rapids, Michigan, Nashville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. So more in those areas that you're alluding to, Jim.
in those top areas that may be impacted on this, and I'm thinking of two things that are happening right now that may impact the real estate market. And the reason I want to bring this up is if you're somebody that's close to retirement, you're thinking of cashing out of the big house, taking that equity, downsizing, there's two things that I think are going to impact the market. Number one, as we've been talking about here, the limitation on mortgage interest, the limitation on property taxes. And then on top of that, Paul, you throw in the Fed rate raising cycle. As the Fed begins to raise rates, it's anticipated they will raise three times this year. You're raising the cost of interest at a time when interest deductibility is limited. So it seems like you have two negative factors here that could weigh on the real estate market.
Yeah, definitely some headwinds there. You know, we did see two rate rises in 2016. We did see three rate rises in 2017, but they've had little impact on mortgage rates. So they've still hovered around 4% all of last year. If there's, you know, three more rate rises this year, at some point that is going to have a large impact on the price appreciation in the real estate market. The other big driver for the price growth has been demand. So that's going to be an interesting characteristic to watch this year as interest rates change, as these tax bills take hold, to really see what individuals are doing and how that's going to impact inventory levels across the U.S.
Now, something that real estate investors have used to avoid paying capital gains tax on appreciated property, and especially, let's say you have a house that, as a married couple, your gains are more than $500,000, so you'd be subject to capital gains tax at a very expensive rate. Paul, what about 1031 exchanges where you exchange one property for a like property to avoid the tax? Did they leave that in the bill?
Yeah, that's one of the bright spots. They did leave that alone. There was a lot of talk, especially on the Senate level, that that may be removed, but the 1031 exchanges are still allowed. So that is a very good avenue for someone to diversify or move into properties that are going to be in a good position as a result of the tax changes.
You know, when you take a look at the caps that they put on individual homes and real estate, that did not apply to commercial real estate. So let's say I'm a real estate investor. I own a duplex, or let's say I own an office building. I can still deduct my property taxes, my interest expense, plus the depreciation I get. So I'm not impacted by that. It seems to me it makes investment property more valuable than, let's say, individual property, let's say, and owning a home.
You're absolutely right, Jim. And then on top of that, there's the 20% deduction you get on pass-through entities, which is going to be another major benefit. You're absolutely right. Commercial real estate is the big winner early on here in the bill. I think that's one that most people will agree on. And there's many different ways to invest in that, luckily.
And what about pass-through entities like we've seen partnerships, MLPs, and then there's, of course, real estate investment trust. Do they benefit from this tax bill as an investment?
Absolutely. So if you're looking at pass-through entities, that would simply be defined as partnerships, sole proprietorships, LLCs, and S corporations. So essentially anything that's not a C corporation. So with those entities, you understand the income isn't taxed at the business level. It passes through to the individual. And as a result, they're going to see a 20% deduction in the tax rate. So income from real estate that's in one of those pass-through entities, the top marginal tax rate is going to be 29.6% instead of the 37% top marginal tax bracket for ordinary income.
So in many ways, I guess it depends on, as I look at this, if you're buying individual real estate, how you're impacted by this depends on, you know, the size of your home and where you live, because obviously I can buy something cheaper in the Midwest somewhere than I can in California or New York. So that's one impact. And then secondly, there's an impact on investment real estate. So investment real estate to me becomes more attractive because it maintains all those tax benefits. And as you pointed out, with pass-throughs like real estate investment trust, the tax rates are actually lower. So cash flow can actually increase.
Absolutely. And on the pass-through entities, there are some caps that come into place. If your taxable income is above $315,000 as a married couple or more than $157,000 as an individual, there are some limitations that you will see placed on that 20%. But by and large, virtually everyone is going to benefit from that. The downside to it is there is a sunset provision on that pass-through entity where after 2025, that 20% deduction will be extinct. It will no longer be there. Now, you had mentioned REITs. And the interesting thing with the REITs is they're treated now as a pass-through entity. So that's really important for a couple reasons. Number one, the income they've produced historically has been ordinary income. It's now going to be, again, the 20% deduction, which is going to make it more attractive. You factor in the fact that it's more liquid than traditional investing in individual properties. And it becomes a very intriguing investment vehicle right now.
So what are you telling your clients? Let's say you have a client that lives in California, has a lot of equity that's been built up in, let's say, a home. They're thinking of retiring. Are you seeing in your practice more and more of, let's say, your California type clients making the decision to move to another state?
It's too early to tell on that one, Jim. Because there's a couple factors come into play, like we talked about. Because of the changes, some people may be less prone to sell with the $1 million limits. And others may be more excited to move into a lower cost area. So it's really comes down to the individual. And that's where having a personalized financial plan is so important.
Paul, anything that you would like as we close that you would like to recommend to our listeners if they are in a situation like California, New York, or let's say they're thinking of becoming a first-time homebuyer?
Absolutely. So now is a great time to look at real estate as part of someone's well-diversified portfolio, but it will be really important to talk with a professional to understand the tax implications and what the best strategies for you to utilize are. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about these changes and how they may impact you, I did write an article that is up on Financial Sense that you can read for a little bit more information, or you can feel free to contact us here at Financial Sense Advisors as well.
Listen, Paul, I want to thank you for joining us on the program. All the best, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
That concludes my interview with Paul Horn. Once again, there's so many things that we're finding out about this tax bill, and it's interesting because some of the states are trying to get around this. My own state of California is doing a number of things. They got a bill in the legislature to tax 50% of the tax savings for corporations. If you have sales of over $1 million, there's another provision to basically take the excess that you cannot deduct on your federal return, and you just turn around and give it to the state and call it a charitable deduction. And as you heard Paul talk there, that may be challenged in the federal courts, but there's going to be a lot of play here. And there's a lot of people that still aren't happy about this tax bill. And so one thing you should be doing this year, whether you're doing your estate plan or income tax plan, talk to your advisor, because there are many, many changes that are coming about as a result of this tax bill. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.
Today's Lifetime Income program was an encore presentation of a previous Lifetime Income show heard earlier this year. Next week, we'll be back on our normal broadcast schedule.